at the 2019 Visa Payments Forum in Chicago, Illinois, and look who is with me in the studio lounge, Mary Ann Riley of Visa. How are you, Mary Ann?
I'm good. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it. How's the conference going for you?
I think it's going great. Yep. Today was a great day for
I heard.
Action-packed agenda.
Any highlights, any standouts for you so far? Or?
I think that I liked the way Al approached the opening this morning, mm-hmm. really talking about just change, mm-hmm. and that the way, and then Oliver connecting to the way that we need to approach change, mm-hmm. not to be afraid of it, really to think about we have to expect it, we have to embrace it.
Oh, no doubt.
And really kind of jump into it.
Mm-hmm. I think the one constant in life is change. Somebody said that somewhere.
Yeah.
We're going through it right now, big time, especially with payments, for sure.
Exactly.
A session you are doing is called New to Marketing to Women, Start Here. I've been waiting for this all day long, Mary Ann. So
wow, I love
given
that,
what
Mike.
Trends are top of mind when... Actually, just give us a quick overview of this session.
Sure.
I'm really interested here.
In fact, I just finished it.
Oh, all right. Top of mind.
So very top of mind. So basically, it's when you talk about change, there's no better topic or demographic to talk about change with than women.
Yep.
The cultural and the economic shift of power to women is so relevant right now. And I think that when you think about 2018, people talked about it as the year of the woman, but the messaging was really around sexual harassment, the Me Too movement, mm-hmm. Pay equality, which mm-hmm. is obviously important, but there's a much bigger story, which is that women are now controlling 60% of the wealth in the United States.
Wow.
Women are responsible for, or at least influence, over 80% of household purchases.
I believe that.
So when it comes mm-hmm. to payments, we better all make sure that we're resonating with women. Mm-hmm. So we did some really in-depth research. First looked at all of these trends, so some of the things that I just mentioned,
right.
and went even deeper than that. But then we did research to really understand the mindset, the behaviors, how women, particularly millennial women, who are really driving this change, mm-hmm. And how they're driving this change is increased education levels. So if you think about even the pay gap, that it's actually starting to narrow mm-hmm. with the younger demographic mm-hmm. because they're going to school, they're working, there's more working moms. Mm-hmm. So we did this research and we looked at men versus women, millennials versus Gen X, mm-hmm. and found some interesting insights, and it's really about women's confidence around money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of old just stereotypes and biases with women themselves. First of all, over half of them who are breadwinners, and 40% of households now are women who are the breadwinners,
mm-hmm.
but over 50% of those women aren't proud of being the breadwinners.
Why?
Because there is an old-fashioned belief, and this is over
80%.
Both men and women believe that the man should be the breadwinner in the family.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. I could say a lot there, but I won't.
I know. Then what all that leads to, so these women are working, but there's also the second job that they come home to. So when you look at then the inequities of both a man and a woman in a household working, but of course it's the woman who comes home, and this is all based on data and stats,
mm-hmm.
that they're more likely to be doing the laundry, to be doing the cooking,
dinner,
to be doing all of that stuff. That leads to greater stress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's across the board when it comes to number one, their number one stress is finances.
Right.
And just all categories that we looked at, women are more stressed than men. That leads to a greater level of distrust. So we talked about this trust gap, and particularly in the US, but it's globally, that women are less trustful of corporations, of government than men. And that's what we really need to address from all of us as brands and as brand marketers, is to make sure that we're having conversations with women to help to empower them when it comes
to
money. Because they're just not having the confidence. They're not asking for raises. as often as men because they have more anxiety.
Right. I've heard that as well.
Mm-hmm. Than men do when having that conversation. So we have to make them, we have to build that confidence and give them the tools, the resources, the vocabulary to have that empowerment.
Right,
so that's where we launched a campaign or a platform called Money is Changing here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And it's working. It was really a social campaign, so we were talking with them, not at them, by taking the research, pushing it out, but then asking them more questions. So building polling into it, which drove engagement, drove sharing, drove more and more interaction. It really was something that we reached much higher level of the female population than we thought we would. We really targeted millennials because of the sharing. And then we went to where they were. So we went to Pinterest, we went to Instagram, because women say, come talk to me on social, because that's where I am, mm-hmm. that's where I'm engaging, mm-hmm. that's where I want you to market to me,
okay.
much more so than men. So that was an interesting insight. We did a lot of testing. Creative was, look, tone, and feel was very different. We wanted it to be endemic to those sites where they were, so it didn't feel like it was coming from Visa. And then we continued to sort of incorporate our products into it in more of a natural way that fit with the conversation that we were having. So it wasn't like, here's our product, use it. Because they're turned off by the stereotypes. They're turned off by advertisers not understanding them. Over 90% of them say advertisers don't understand them and aren't speaking to them in a way that's relevant.
I find this so fascinating because you would think with more purchasing power that the confidence would correlate with that. But in fact, it's almost kind of the opposite. So I find that so interesting.
Yeah, I do too. There was an interesting quote from a woman that we did our Money is Changing research with, and she said, women have grown up on Cosmo and men have grown up on Forbes. So the conversations with women are not around money. The conversations are not, maybe it's around the pay gap, that there's more conversation around that, but not sort of money in general. Even as we launched a program called She's Next, empowered by Visa, around small business owners. And I actually brought in one of the workshops that we had, I brought in some of an issuing partner to share some of their insights into investments and how to actually get funding from Small Business Administration and how to approach going about investments. And women came up afterwards and said, these are not the conversations that we have in small business forums. These are not the conversations that we're typically having, which I thought was so interesting, because how could that not be the conversation when women are opening businesses at 2.5 times the rate of men in like the last 15 years, and they're getting a much smaller piece of the pie of the funding that's out there. So that's the opportunity to have those conversations.
So what was the reaction in the room when you were saying all this stuff? I mean, was it positive, negative, maybe opportunity?
Oh, I know. I think opportunity. Yeah. There was a lot of interest in the data. I think men are going to go home and start doing more of the housework. if that's a takeaway, then that will be a big win.
That's a good
thing.
But yes,
a lot of had a great turnout.
I bet it was standing room only. My gosh.
And a lot of quite a few came up to me afterwards to say, hey, we want to engage with you. That's sort of how I ended it, which is, this is a campaign and a platform that Visa has created. It's, you know, we're in early phases. Timing's perfect. We're going into Women's World Cup and the sponsorship in the U.S. Mm-hmm. of the U.S. national team. Mm-hmm. So lots of opportunity to continue to amplify our message around women's empowerment, and they can join in those efforts.
Yeah, your timing sounds like it's really, really spot on. So, oh my gosh, I could go so many places with this. This is so much fun. So how has Visa's marketing approach evolved to engage consumers in North America? I mean, you talked about women in this case. How about kind of an overall consumer message?
You know, I think it's the multi-channel approach, as well as leveraging all of the sponsorships and the passion points that we're seeing. So, I mean, I'll give the example of talking about going into women in the women's campaign again. We looked at obviously leading with social, leading with digital, because that's what we heard from women. But then we said, we also have these sponsorships. How can we leverage them? And what are the other passion points that we can connect to? Mm-hmm. You know, beyond social, let's go to where she is. So we started to sponsor New York Fashion Week in the past year. We were there on the ground. We had influencers mm-hmm. Pushing out our message, where we created
really?
A Instagrammable wall with a manifesto. Mm-hmm. And it's just really was sort of like lightning in a bottle mm-hmm. and got a lot of great great leverage from that. We also, as I mentioned, created She's Next, powered by Visa. Partnerships, you know, going, and we partnered with, for She's Next, we partnered with the Female Founders Collective, which is started by Rebecca Minkoff, and she's a female designer. And it's about putting spotlight on women-owned businesses so that you can actually get people to support them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, as well as the hopefully helping our clients, I mean, my team's role, first and foremost, is to support our clients from big to small.
Mm-hmm.
So really looking to build out our approach to helping them with marketing advisory and marketing execution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what our team is here for.
Right. Very good. Very good stuff. So what are the capabilities or opportunities that your team, speaking of your team, provide that community issuers can leverage?
I think the community issuers really have to start to think about that multi-channel approach
mm-hmm.
because a lot of times it's they're focused on direct mail, which, hey, direct mail, I
came
from traditional marketing.
It still works.
Mm-hmm. But there's so much opportunity in digital and social, and I think that's typically where the support is needed
mm-hmm.
and where we can help with insights around what I just talked about.
Right.
We have a lot of learnings. We have a lot of capabilities that they can leverage. So I would say that's what they should be thinking about, as well as leveraging our sponsorships and the turnkey approach that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, for the NFL or for the Super Bowl, that they have the opportunity to leverage a sweepstakes that we offer, that they can offer trips to the Super Bowl to
their
customers.
Right on. Last question for you, get you off the hot seat here. Best marketing practices that you've seen that truly drive business impact, particularly with social and digital media?
That's a pretty big question.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go back to what I just talked about, because I think the best marketing practice is literally what I closed with around what we learned around what we just did with Money is Changing, which is be authentic. You know, we learned that we as a brand have a mission to talk about money. So we knew that this conversation around Money is Changing would feel relevant to customers, and they said, yeah, Visa, we expect this to come from you.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't go too far. Make sure you're leveraging the channels of and understanding where your target audience is. So in this case, the going to social, and then having conversation, not talking at the audience, but talking in this case with her.
Mm-hmm.
So then testing learning in that way. What were the topics that actually resonated?
Mm-hmm.
What did she care most about? What does your target audience care most about? And continue to build in that way. And I think leverage the assets that you have. We do invest in sponsorships, and sponsorships that matter to our consumers and to our issuing partners, including the community issuers. So you know, leverage that in social and digital channels in a big way, because that's where you have the broad spectrum of channels, because you have this, you have the physical manifestation of the sponsorship, bringing it to life, and then bringing it to life for the broader audience through social and digital.
Well, and the social and the digital is so obviously so trackable, and the conversations you can have there are immediate. You can get the instantaneous feedback. That's the beauty of the digital and the social that you don't get with the direct mail. So yeah, this is great stuff. Anything else, Marianne, to wrap this? I know you've got a busy schedule, so I don't want to hold you too long. So
I think that's it. You asked me good questions.
Well, thank
Mike,
you.
So
thank
that's
you. We aims to please.
Good.
All right, Marianne, thank you so much.
Thank you.